good morning to each of you this morning. Counted a privilege to be here with you all. Thank you, Jarrell, for those songs. And just thinking of that last song, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. I think that's should be our focus this morning as we think about our special service of communion, remembering the cross and what that means for us. This morning is a time to remember and consider what Jesus has done for us, his work on the cross. And I trust that this morning each one of us can come to a deeper realization of that and what it means for us as we focus on Jesus' sacrifice and what he went through on our behalf to provide atonement and sanctification. And I think another part that's important to remember is why Jesus had to come. And Jim referenced that, thinking of the debt that each one of us has. And I think we've heard the story so many times, maybe it becomes ordinary, and we just, it doesn't have the meaning maybe that it should. But we consider the salvation story, it begins with the problem. And the short answer is sin. And you know, it's not hard to see that we live in a world that's filled with sin, a broken world. We see the need for a solution. And Jesus was willing to offer his life as a sacrifice for that sin, the sins of the world. And my message title this morning is My Sin. And instead of the focus being on outward, you know, the sins of the world, but to put the focus on ourselves. And Jesus came for my sin, recognizing my contribution to the sins of the world and realizing that my sin needs to be dealt with the same as everyone else's. Because I think we're so good at comparing with each other and rating how bad my sin might be. But just to come to the recognition of the reality and the seriousness of my sin, and also what has been done for that through Jesus. So my text this morning is going to be from Hebrews chapter 10. You can turn there. I'd like to read most of the chapter. I was considering how much to read, and there wasn't really a good starting and stopping point, so I think I'll read verses 1 through 22. From Hebrews 10. And as we read through this, I'd like us just to consider how my sin contributes to what is being talked about here and the solution that has been provided through Jesus. The story of Jesus really comes out clearly in this passage. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And I'll stop there. And I think it's a beautiful passage that just lays out clearly the sacrifice of Jesus and what all that has accomplished. And I think the book of Hebrews is leading up to this moment. And maybe you could say this is the climax of the types and shadows, and how Jesus, this is the ultimate fulfillment. Jesus' work on the cross and what that does and how that has made a way for us to enter the holiest place, like he says in verse 19. So I have 3 points about my sin that I want to consider as we look at this passage. First of all, I want to think about the seriousness of my sin. Now, this passage doesn't say it exactly in those words, but the discussion at the beginning of this chapter, and really throughout, I think it makes it clear that something has to be done about sin. You can't just let it go. It has to be dealt with in some way. And there's discussion at the beginning of the chapter about the sacrifices, the system that was set up in the Old Testament to cover for sin. And there were different things that they had to do so often, different sacrifices, and it was a regular thing. And it mentions how it wasn't the ultimate solution, because you had to keep coming back. It did not take away the sins of the people who gave these offerings. But the bottom line is, you have to do something about sin. You can't just let it go. What can be done to take care of my sin? And I think the problem is, we're often very good at minimizing our sin, where we think it's really not that bad, and we can be so good at rationalizing how my own actions aren't quite as bad because of this and that reason. There's a book that Frank Peretti wrote called The Oath, and I have mixed opinions about Frank Peretti, but I did read his book, The Oath, and I think sometimes fictional stories like that can give us a graphic representation of some spiritual truths, and this is not intended to be a recommendation for the book, but just something that stood out to me that I remember from that book, and that was a visual representation that he had of sin. And he described it as this physical rash that people had that would ooze out this black, tarry substance. And it was just this very graphic stain, very obvious. And it was interesting that the people who had this mark were not really concerned about it. And other people were looking at this and very worried, what is going on? You have this mark, and the people who had it were not very worried. They said, "This is, you know, it's no big deal. It's fine." And I think that's how it is often with sin. As we consider our own sin, oftentimes we try to minimize that. We think it's not really that bad. nothing to worry about compared with, you know, other things. But when God looks at it, it's different, and it's something that needs to be cleaned up, something that stains and ultimately ruins. And I need to see my sin for what it really is, that black stain, that mark, the seriousness of what it really does. James 4, verse 9 says, "Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your joy be turned to heaviness," thinking of that proper attitude towards our sin. And I wonder if we would have a moment to stand before God in our sinful state, what would our reaction be? And it's interesting, the Bible gives some responses of people who had that experience of witnessing God's glory in their sinful state. And I wrote down a few people who had that experience and their response. First of all, Isaiah, from Isaiah 6, he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." And Job, his response to God when he has the confrontation with God, he says, "My eyes have seen you. I abhor myself and repent in ashes." Daniel, in his vision of the Ancient of Days, he said, "There was no strength that remained in me. My vigor turned to frailty." And Habakkuk has had an experience like this as well. He said, "My body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones." And also the Apostle Peter, in his confrontation with Jesus, he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." And I think when we look at the responses of those people who were in God's presence in their sinful state, we get a better understanding of the seriousness of sin. And if we could truly see it for what it is, our responses would probably be very similar. That's the first point, the seriousness of my sin. Secondly, the sacrifice for my sin. And I think Hebrews does a very good job at describing the work of Jesus as the ultimate and perfect sacrifice. And I think that's brought out here in Hebrews chapter 10. There's a lot that we could think about and how the Old Testament sacrificial system was set up and how Jesus came in and perfectly fulfilled that. And I think chapter 10 is the climax of that. This is the ultimate fulfillment. It all revolves around the work of Jesus and his work on the cross. He was the Lamb of God without blemish. And by offering his life, he fulfilled the plan of salvation. That sacrifice that was once and for all, what needed to be done frequently with the sacrificial system was now done once and for all. Verse 10, we see that. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And also in verse 12, he talks about after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what the blood of bulls and goats could not do, the blood of Jesus is able to do. And that is the taking away of sin. And I think this is the focal point of history, the story of Jesus on the cross. The people before were looking ahead to this time, and now here we are today looking back at this time in remembrance, this once and for all sacrifice that Jesus made for the sins of the world and for my sin. And that's the reason we take time in our communion service to look back at that sacrifice, because it is so significant. And then thirdly, the sanctification from my sin. And it's because of Jesus' sacrifice that our sins are now sanctified and done away with and cleansed. And it's interesting to look at the different ways that he says this throughout chapter 10. We see the word sanctified in verse 10. We're sanctified through the offering of Jesus Christ. That means to be made holy and to be set apart. That's what Jesus' sacrifice does for us. It sanctifies us from sin. In verse 11, we see the contrast that Jesus' sacrifice does take away sins. Those other sacrifices could not, but Jesus' sacrifice does take away sins. In verse 14, he mentions how we are perfected through Jesus' sacrifice. And verse 17, our sins, my sin, is remembered no more. And there is remission of sin. Verse 18, remission means untying, letting go. It's released. And it follows through with other passages that talk about our sins being removed as far as the east is from the west and being buried on the ocean floor. Micah talks about that, Micah 7. And also in verse 22, we see that we can be cleansed and washed from our sin. If sin is a stain, it's completely removed. And with raising a family, I hear of different things needed to remove stains from clothing. And there's a lot of different ways that you can remove stains, whether it's soaking it in OxiClean, or for me, it's using acetone. But sometimes we can't remove all the stains from our clothing. And I remember talking to someone in Cherry Creek who had that mentality about sin as well. Sometimes the bad ones you just can't get rid of. And he thought that he did too much wrong. There's too much that I've done. God can't forgive me for that. But I remember telling him that where there is repentance, there's nothing that's too big to be forgiven, because the blood of Jesus will cleanse and sanctify and perfect and take away our sin. And I think that's what Hebrews is bringing out here, Hebrews 10. And it's all a result of Jesus' sacrifice and the life-changing power that comes from that. And in conclusion, I think the most beautiful part of this passage is the result of our sanctification. And we see this in verse 22, where there's just an invitation for us to draw near. Let us draw near. And that's in reference to the holiest place. Back to verse 19, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And the invitation is there. Let us draw near. There's now access. That veil has been taken away. The area that was before reserved only for the high priest and only at certain times is now open for us to draw near. There is a new and living way that gives us access because of what Jesus did. And as I thought about this message, what is contained in Hebrews 10 here, and really it's the gospel message. The means by which my sin can be taken away and sanctified. And I think every time that we consider the gospel message and the salvation story, we should be inspired to draw closer and ever nearer to God, like we see with the invitation in verse 22. And I trust that as we share in our communion service this morning, that we could do that, that we could draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have done on our behalf. We thank you for the finished work on the cross, the access that you have given to us, the fact that our sin can be cleansed and taken away. And we praise you for that. I pray that you would draw our hearts toward you in this communion service as we remember what you have done. I pray that you would be honored in our service this morning. I pray in Jesus' name.